This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Resource Centre. This is Frida Liu. This afternoon, we're going to explore how immigration services can help the government generate revenue and benefit the government in terms of efficiency. Why is it important for companies to outsource services such as immigration services? We'll find out. I'm here with Tejvinder Singh, Managing Partner of Great Pyramid. Welcome, Tejvinder. Perhaps we can start off with an overview of the regulations surrounding foreign workers and expats, especially, you know, with the regulations that has been announced not too long ago.
Hi, Frida. Thank you for having me on Resource Centre today. First and foremost, you must take note that all applications for foreign workers and talent must be done by their respective employers. However, employers have the option to appoint immigration consultants such as Great Pyramid to assist them in processing the applications on behalf of their company. Foreign worker quota is governed by the Ministry of Home Affairs, and foreign workers can only work in five sectors, namely manufacturing, construction, plantation, agriculture, and services. Altogether, there are 15 source countries these foreign workers are allowed to be from. Okay. As you may know, hiring of foreign workers are currently frozen. Mm-hmm. There is the rehiring of illegal foreign workers going on right now, which is until the 30th of June this year.
So illegal because they've overstayed?
Yes, illegal because they've overstayed in Malaysia.
Okay, so and you were saying the five industries were agriculture, manufacturing, services, construction?
Yes, manufacturing, construction, plantation. Agriculture, okay, and services.
Okay, so when you say services, that also falls under the auspice of F&B, that sort of thing?
Yes, correct. The services, there's a big breakdown of services services industry. So there's a list of what services are allowed.
Okay, so this rehiring exercise, how long is that going to go on for?
It's until the 30th of June this year.
Okay, so they what are they doing now is basically seeing who gets to stay on, who gets to renew their work permit. Is that what's happening now?
Yes, correct. The rehiring program is via the employers themselves. So the employers have to get their workers in and go ahead to the respective agencies to process their work passes.
Okay, so end June, then the laws will probably change again.
Yes, in May.
Okay, in May. Okay. So what are your views on the need for foreign talent and labour here in Malaysia? What are some of the stats?
As a developing country, I think there is definitely a need of foreign workers. It helps to build the country's infrastructure. Yes, for foreign talent, it will be definitely welcome. It will help knowledge transfer and growth in specific niche areas, especially in industries such as IT and oil and gas. Currently, there are no published statistics available for foreign workers. I would say eliminating foreign workers will lead to a shortage of manpower, especially in the national key economic areas, which are currently ongoing. There are a lot of projects that will be left midway or uncompleted if foreign workers are eliminated.
Okay, so obviously when you say how we're classifying this is there is a talent, foreign talent meaning I guess more white collar workers, and then there's foreign labour which is more the blue collar workers.
Yes, correct. Foreign talent will be considered expatriate. Mm-hmm. There is a minimum salary range of 2,500 to be considered foreign talent.
2,500 ringgit.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And what's the government's biggest contention with foreign talent or labour? And how can this, you know, be mitigated?
From recent news in the media, it can be gathered that the government's biggest contention with foreign talent or labour would be the influx of foreign workers being hired for jobs here. It's important to look into this now, I think, to ensure proper control. There are a few ways this can be done. Firstly, would be keeping track of illegal foreign workers. This is currently being done by the rehiring program and also to conduct stricter enforcement. I think employers should leverage on the rehiring program right now. As of last week, there were only 55,000 illegal foreign workers registered under the rehiring program. Estimated there are about 1.4 million foreign workers in Malaysia right now.
So it's 1.4 million, and as of last week, you say only 55,000 have
Yes,
been.
Exactly.
So what do you think, these people will be sent back, or we've just got a lot more work to do?
I think there's a lot more work to be done because the rehiring program does not involve sending back the workers. Mm-hmm. There are only two rehire them under companies.
Okay.
The enforcement would be sending back the workers. That would be, I think that is still ongoing.
Right. Okay. So, and you know, what is the scope of immigration services here in Malaysia?
I think there's a wide scope of immigration services in Malaysia. It's ranging from relocation services, processing of work passes, consultancy. Basically, the services are offered based on a client's needs and requirements.
Okay. And do you think, you know, when you talk, how can immigration services then help the government generate revenue, and what other benefits are there?
Firstly, immigration services help the government generate revenue by giving them a steady flow of revenue from the foreign worker levy and visa fees. So when immigration services assist employers in processing their work passes, there's a certain amount of a levy or visa fees involved. So we assist the government by creating a steady revenue flow. Other benefits would include bridging the knowledge and information gap between employers and the government. Mm. It also increases efficiency by reducing time and utilization of government resources for the application processes.
Mm. I know this is business for you in a sense, but do you think that are we overly dependent on foreign labor though? You know, I mean, are there some things that, you know, if situations change, you know, that we are not so dependent on foreign labor?
I think at this current point of time, we are dependent. Mm. Hopefully, moving forward with the skills and transfer of knowledge to the locals, it would help us to be less dependent on foreign labor.
Okay. And here in this case, foreign labor, not foreign talent?
Both ways.
Okay. So, you know, what are the difficulties faced by organizations here in terms of foreign talent and labor?
From feedback that we've received, I would say the main difficulty would be the approvals of foreign talent and labour, especially getting them in a timely manner. However, with the various online application platforms nowadays introduced by the Immigration Department of Malaysia, the turnaround time has increased drastically.
Okay.
Other than that, I think the organizations here also face difficulty due to the frequent changes in policy, procedure, rules and regulations involving foreign talent and labor. It's challenging for organizations to keep track of the constant changes and to have a long-term plan in place. Mm. So that's why most of organizations look to their consultants for updates on policy and changes.
When you talk about foreign labour, are we limited to certain countries only, like your Myanmar, Bangladesh, Nepalese, Indonesians? Are we a couple Filipinos as well? Are we limited, or you know, it is open to all, you know, countries?
For foreign labour, it's limited to 15 source countries by the Immigration Department. Mm. For foreign talent, there is no limitation.
Okay, so the 15. So the usual suspects, as I've mentioned.
Yeah, I can name you all 15, actually. Mm-hmm. It would be Thailand, Cambodia, Nepal, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, Philippines, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, India, Indonesia, and Bangladesh.
All the stans, huh?
Yes.
All the stans. All right. We do see, not China.
No, China is not one of the source countries.
Okay, source countries. So that's so that they could come under foreign talent in that
yes,
sense.
Yes, correct.
Okay, we'll continue our conversation about immigration services with Tejvinder Singh from Great Pyramid. After this, you're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Ballsy football moves. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Centre. This is Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Tejvinder Singh, Managing Partner of Great Pyramid. We talk about immigration services and, you know, foreign workers and labour, foreign talent and labour, and some of the new regulations or announcements and how this impact Malaysia. So when you talk about the services that you offer as well, what are the pros and cons of companies outsourcing immigration services, and what are the benefits to organisations?
Oh, there are a lot of pros involved. Firstly, it would definitely be cost-saving for the organisation, increase bottom-line profits by reducing the operating expenditure. It also allows human resource to concentrate on talent management and employee development instead of using up resources for immigration applications and administration processes. Mm. For SMEs, I would say it allows them to focus on their core business and decreases time spent on back-end services. Mm. For example, in the technology industry, SaaS and Software AG are currently using Great Pyramid services for expatriates and have benefited a lot in terms of efficient application processes. The main disadvantage, I would say, would be organizations exposing themselves to unreliable immigration consultants, which would lead to inefficiency due to wrong info provided and delays in processing of their work passes and etc.
But you would say generally most companies would use external parties. They would not do it themselves, right?
I would say it would depend on the volume.
Okay.
If it's cost effective, they would do it themselves.
Okay. So if it's large volumes, they'll probably end up using someone else's.
Yes, correct. The other reason why they use external parties is because there is a lot of what-if situations involved whereby it's hard to get the information on hand right away. Mm. So that's why consultants need to be updated with all the policy and procedural changes happening.
What sort of what-if?
Okay, what ifs? I would give you an example in the foreign talent sector. Okay, what if employee A wants to move or change their employers from company A to company B? So those kind of situations, there's a process involved, certain additional documents required. They also just say another what if a dependent of an expatriate wants to start working. So that means of changing their work passes from a dependent pass to an employment pass.
Okay, so that's the headache pass to you.
Yes, correct.
Okay, to do. So now, do you feel that immigration consultancy be a regulated industry here in Malaysia the way it is in other countries?
At this point, I think the focus is to build awareness on the services offered by immigration consultants. We also want to work hand in hand with the government to develop this industry and bridge the gap between organizations and government. Regulating the industry would be the next step once awareness on the services offered are in place and the industry is more matured.
How far do you think we are from, you know, to get to that level of maturity?
I think we're quite far yet because you look at countries like Australia whereby there are certified immigration consultants to handle all kinds of processes there. So we are still far ahead.
Okay, so what do they do differently in Australia?
In Australia, the companies and immigration consultants are certified by the government. So they have to sit for a certain course. And they are working hand in hand. The government recognizes the immigration consultants in Australia. See?
And I understand in Australia, they don't look at it as foreign talent and foreign labour. They're classified differently.
Yes, correct. They don't have much foreign labour in Australia. It's mostly towards technical and skilled workers compared to foreign labour.
So that's how they're defined,
yes,
technical
correct.
And skilled. These are the technical needs the country needs.
Yes.
These are the skills.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
That is a shortage in the country. Now, do you feel, what other services does your organisation offer?
In tune with our immigration services, we also offer relocation for expatriates. Relocation in ways that we help them look for their accommodation, logistics, help them set up their financial bank accounts in Malaysia, etc. In the outsourcing part, we also do payroll management and contract staffing.
Okay. You know, do you find that this also has been affected because of the oil and gas industry in terms of foreign talent?
Yes, I would agree on that. There has been a lot of expatriates leaving the country due to the oil and gas industry. Malaysia is a big player in the oil and gas industry, so it has affected expatriates coming into Malaysia, and also there have been a lot of expatriates, foreign talent, leaving Malaysia recently.
But that said, in terms of foreign talent, what will be the key industries? It'd be IT?
Currently, we are looking at IT. It's a big player for foreign talent. Shared services and outsourcing, that's big as well in Malaysia. And there are various other key economic national key economic areas, especially with the big projects in Malaysia like the Klang Valley MRT project and also the Pengerang Oil and Gas project. So a lot of them are working on those projects in Malaysia.
Okay, so that's why you can still see them in Bangsa.
Yes, exactly.
So that's where it's going at the moment. And, you know, but you also shared with me a little earlier on that there are different reasons why people would leave. You were saying that even the tsunami was a factor that people left, and it's so strange when you think about it.
Exactly. Natural disasters play a big role for expatriates. I think their safety and concern is big part to them, you see. Mm. So the tsunami in Malaysia years back saw a lot of expatriates leaving Malaysia.
Mm. Although it was just a small part in Malaysia, although, you know, a major in Thailand. But so these are the things that actually would affect them to not stay. And this is a case of foreign talent. Thanks for being with us and sharing a little bit about the immigration game. I'm here with Tejvinder Singh, a managing partner of Great Permit. You've been listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.